Sunday night's main event is brought to you by Vape Nation, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. For locations, visit vapenationcanada.com.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
There are only three letters that matter in the wrestling world this week, and they are AEW. Hello and welcome to Sunday night's main event on the air with the help of Vape Nation, taking your vape shop experience to the next level. Visit vapenationcanada.com for locations. My name is Jason Agnew and I'm happy to be joined this week in studio by bartender Dave. And Dave, listen, the original reason you were here was to preview NXT 25 and we're going to get there and chat takeover, but I mean, we've got another order of business to tend to first.
Oh my goodness, hooray, good brother Jason, and it's an honor and privilege to be back on Canada's premier pro wrestling radio show, Sunday night's main event, the night after we witnessed pro wrestling history with the rise of three little letters that packed quite a punch.
You got it, my friend, also on the show tonight, the Wrestling Observer Extra, but Mr. Meltzer is currently traveling, so his tag team partner will be on the show tonight, a man that was sitting ringside at Double or Nothing, you couldn't miss him, Brian Alvarez. Brian's going to join us in hour two to chat about the show last night, as well as his new book that he has coming out. So we will discuss all of that. A Double or Nothing edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and your feedback will be rounding things out on the show. So let's stop talking about it and start talking about it, if that makes sense. Taking a break, coming back with the excitement of AEW right here on Sunday night's main event.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
For months I've been saying one thing. Chris Jericho is AEW. This is not a company for the fans. This is a company for me. To prove to you the name value of Chris Jericho, well, let's see what happened. We got a company, we got a fancy logo, we got a giant television deal. We sold 12,000 tickets in 4 minutes. What's the reason for that? Me. And I told you, when I beat Kenny Omega, which I did by the skin of my teeth, but I beat Kenny Omega, I was going to demand one thing from all of you, one thing from AEW. I'm going to demand a thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful for my ex.
I don't know when the last time was, David. By the way, welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Jason Agnew here with you, along with that bartender Dave, live in studio. What you just heard was Chris Jericho. And what I was saying was, I don't know, David, when the last time was that I have been this excited about wrestling, mm-hmm. both to watch an event, and also the difference here is to come away from that event with the same amount of excitement of what is next for a group, an organization, a character, all of the above in this case.
Yeah, I completely agree with you because like I was looking at it last night and trying to figure out when the last time that I felt this way about mm-hmm. anything. And that would have been like the Bischoff Hogan taking over TNA
yeah.
and yes. doing the Monday Night Wars.
Yes.
And we all know how that ended.
Okay, that was very bad.
Yeah, a bad taste in the mouth.
Yep.
But that's the exact same feeling that I mm-hmm. felt last night. And at the end of the show, like you said, I was like, oh my God, that was fantastic. And I can't wait to see where they go with this. And this is me not knowing like a good three quarters of the roster.
Roster.
Yeah, exactly.
They played some introduction games last night, which I thought did struggle at times. And listen, I don't want to give this a whole glowing review. Mm-hmm. And you know me from listening to me for years and from working with me now. I'm definitely going to have some things to say about the production of this. But, having said that, as we talk about this, let's remember this was a first show for AEW last night. And for those of you that are sitting there saying, no, Jason, it wasn't. They did All In. Right. No, they didn't. Yeah. No, they didn't. Because they had a lot of support for All In from Ring of Honor as well. And they had different people working on that show. This was essentially the new era. This is Tony Khan funded. Right. And he did not fund All In. He was there sitting at ringside. This is Cody and the Bucks and Kenny putting this all together themselves. All of their contracted talent on this show in the way that they're structuring all of their different contracts. They're dealing with all of the problems. They're dealing with all of the production. They're dealing with the broadcast. And because of all of that, it is their first go. And it was, overwhelmingly sitting there watching it, to me, a complete 99.999% success last night.
Yeah. Couldn't agree with you more. It was amazing, like saying that I don't know this roster. I felt like everybody was a superstar that came out. Granted, like a lot of the people, we didn't know who they were, or they like you said, stumbled over introducing them properly. Mm-hmm. But by the end, it just felt like this was a viable option. It was amazing. Like, this is a great example of betting on yourself and knocking it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a really great way of putting this. It's betting on yourself. These guys have bet on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It goes nicely with the whole Double or Nothing in Vegas and everything as well. It goes really nicely. But that's what they've done. So, the clip that we just heard off the top is Chris Jericho there. That's after he defeated Kenny Omega. And then after that, the big fallout of Jon Moxley, not Dean Ambrose.
Definitely not Dean Ambrose.
I doubted the promo. Of the Mox promo, and I've never been a fan of Dean Ambrose. People who have listened to this show, to me, he was always the third guy in the Shield.
Yes.
He was a character that I thought had potential to be a Roddy Piper style type of character, but always failed in WWE and failed upward to a degree.
Right.
I had that terrible match with Brock Lesnar, and not really his fault, but was put into a bad spot. He showed up here, he was a completely different person. And he came in, and to me, what I wrote on Twitter after this was Jon Moxley, the Mox, has already been showcased and positioned as the Stone Cold Steve Austin of AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And all it was, yes, taking out Jericho, taking out the ref.
Yes.
And then taking out Kenny. And listen, to me, this was so smart. Well, first of all, let's talk about Kenny Omega. Omega lost, Dave.
Yes, he did.
What did you think about Kenny Omega? Your the star that you're building the company around loses in your first pay-per-view.
I was surprised. I was sure that Jericho was going to take the loss because it seems like everything that Jericho does now in New Japan or anything like that, he's always putting over younger talent,
right?
Which is an honorable thing to do. But I think they did the right thing here because it seems like Kenny Omega is a bit better in the chase.
Yes.
And if he's chasing Jericho or MJF or whoever ends up to be this champion.
What do you mean, Paige?
Paige. Yes.
Not MJF.
Oh, my apologies.
MJF is in your brain. And listen, they did great stuff with MJF last night. I've been a fan of MJF. After seeing him on MLW, mm-hmm. I thought he was something special. I saw him here live on the Danforth. And once again, he shines. They put him in a great spotlight. We'll get to MJF, though, because I thought they gave him a great spot last night. But the chase of Kenny Omega, I think you're right. It was a loss last night for their biggest star.
Yes.
For the greater good ahead. And once again, it's long-term booking.
What
is
a
really
novel
what
it, idea.
Right? It's not feeling the pressure. Listen, even though Kenny Omega is your star right now,
mm-hmm.
he is not the biggest star. Right now, Chris Jericho, to the mainstream audience, is the biggest star. I actually, my girlfriend was walking in and out of the room as I watched this last night because it's Saturday night.
She's of course.
Not used to me having to watch wrestling on Saturday nights. That's Sunday. So she walked in and she went, she knew two people on this card last night. Of all things, she's a producer for ET Canada. She's like, that's Luke Perry's kid.
Yeah.
So she knew who Jungle Boy was. And along with that, she's like, is that Chris Jericho? What's he doing here? But just that statement of there's your recognizable face, that's the reason why I think even if Adam Page, even if Hangman does face Jericho, and he will,
yep.
I think Jericho wins there. And think about what they've done, Dave. Then it's Omega, Jericho, rubber match for the title.
Exactly. No, the way that they booked this is... Like awe-inspiring. Like they're
simple, Dave.
Yes,
that's the thing.
They're on all cylinders, just out of the gate and knocking it out of the park. I don't know how many other adages I could throw at you, but I am so excited about this right now.
And after that, I was kind of thinking, you know, after the pinfall happened with, you know, they really trying to get over this elbow as well, right?
I know, right?
Really trying to get over the Judas thing there. I mean, they did kind of choreograph the finish telegraph the finish,
yes.
Actually, with really pushing that move. But having said that, there was a doubt in my mind. I mean, I thought maybe after, you know, putting this elbow out there as being so important that it would fail. And ultimately, the heel failing with the new move is something that you can do in wrestling, right?
Oh, of course.
And this is a complete sidebar. I was wondering why in the Cody versus Dustin match, there was no bionic elbows.
Oh, there wasn't, was it?
Bionic elbow for Dusty Rhodes. I was sitting there waiting. I'm like, are they going to make it the finish when I hadn't seen it? Or you need that novelty spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course there's not going to be. With Chris Jericho pushing this elbow...
Oh,
as his
right.
main move, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you really wanted to get over the Judas effect as the main move. So you didn't want that. I mean, I'm making that up. I don't know if it's the case, but logically, to me, if your agents are talking and if you're getting that move over, then you're not referencing an elbow in another match. But anyhow, what I thought when Omega gets this win, takes the loss. And then Jericho goes on. I was like, well, now what do you do with Omega? And then Ambrose runs and Ambrose attacks Jericho. I'm like, well, this isn't right. Then Ambrose has to face Jericho, but he's got to face Paige. And then
yep.
You swung the direction of Ambrose to Omega. You ended with that. You have your babyface in peril at the end. It's so clear now that Ambrose goes and fights Kenny in the meantime while Jericho takes care of Paige with the title. And then you've set up what I just mentioned of the rubber match.
Yeah, it's true. It's a great example of fantastic booking by minds that really know the business, understand it, and want the best for business.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
Like, I know. But
go smash a throne, Dave. What did you think about that? I mean, best for business aside, you know, there was a couple WWE references,
yes.
here. And one in particular was the throne. I'm sure the prop cost a lot of money.
Yeah, but it was lackluster.
It was kind of lackluster. He should have just smashed, like, I don't know, get some fake glass that they use in movies and make a throne out of glass and smash it. Anyway, but I mean, the thought process was there. Was it too much in regards to their WWE references? I mean, they made the funny joke at the beginning about the attendance, which I laughed
20,000,
out loud at.
Eh?
Yeah, I laughed out loud at that. Was the throne too much for you?
I don't think so. I liked it and I was expecting it because it's their first show. They have to draw the line in the sand, tell them, look, this is what we are. We're going forward. We're going after you. And I didn't find it too much. I know a lot of people did not like it. But yeah, there were different ways they could have done. They could have done like a little actual glass ceiling that he could have used the sledgehammer and smash
maybe
that right
next.
Above him. Yeah,
that would be very funny. Very, very funny. Okay, so a few moments on the card last night. Of course, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio or on News Talk 1290, our new affiliate that we have jumped in this week. So thank you for listening. We're talking about AEW Double or Nothing, a very special, a very historic, a very monumental event. And I mean, I'm hyping that up, but... these guys followed through last night, and it is a big event, and it's the start of a new company, and it's the start of competition for WWE. And don't tell me it's not competition, because these guys have proved that they are. And a couple big moments coming out last night were the surprises. And we'll start with the surprise number one, and that was, of course, you had Brandi Rhodes come out.
Yes.
Dressed in her gear.
Yeah, full ring gear.
You know what? I sat there, and I'm like, oh, no. If Brandi injects herself into this match, that's very... WWE, like,
yep.
to do something like that.
Yep.
And then, Awesome Kong comes out saying she wants this, Brandi says this match, she wants to be awesome, and Awesome Kong comes out. I thought it was just the perfect person. Oh. What did you think?
I loved it. And like getting back to even what you were saying about the her being in full ring gear.
Yeah.
It was a shot in itself. Like saying that, yeah, we could do this just like WWE, but you know what? We're not going to do that. Look, you think that we're going to do that? Yeah. We ain't going to do any of that.
I think I took it that way as well, and I didn't know if I was reading too much into it, but if you saw that as well.
Completely.
You know, I kind of thought that way. And listen, I've had a couple people write up on the message board about, well, why bring in Awesome Kong just to have her lay at ringside? Because ultimately she didn't go over.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about how Awesome Kong was used in this match?
Oh, it was perfect.
Yeah?
It was there for a surprise to get the crowd buzzing and everything like that. She came in, she did a couple of great spots, and I was very, very impressed with her look and everything about her. I thought she was used perfectly.
Yeah, and listen, we know that Kia Stevens has had a great run on Glow, and definitely her focus right now falls in acting. People are going to take note of her. She's excellent in that series, especially in season 2. It even gets better. She's even better. There's a whole episode that is focused on her and her son in that series. So that's her focus. We also know that she has a bad back.
Right.
I mean, she's at the tail end of her career. I didn't even expect her to wrestle at all. But to that audience, mm-hmm. she is a superstar.
Completely.
And she is what that audience wanted. And the fact that she was there to be a nice surprise, the audience loved it. People at home, I jumped out of my seat watching.
Yep.
I was like, wow, this is incredible. Didn't have to win. Just had to appear. I don't think there's much of a future there with her. She's not a full-time performer that I've heard, and I don't believe she will be, and I thought she was used very well. The second moment also blew my mind.
Yeah.
That would, of course, be Bret Hart coming out with the title.
Oh, that one, I could not believe. Like, that one caught me completely off guard. It was just like, okay, a few weeks ago, I went in, Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hey, check me out now.
I was so surprised. I just started laughing out loud when I saw this. So Bret Hart, when they started saying the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, I'm like, oh my goodness, you've got Bret Hart. And he had Bret's not in great shape. For those of you that don't know, he's had trouble with both of his knees. Of course, he had the stroke, which is well documented. He had the concussion issues as well. Recently, he's had major problems with his wrists as well. Bret stumbled a bit on the microphone. Everyone forgave him.
Of course.
When he did make that mistake. But Bret was used better here just as a champion. No reference to Earl.
None.
Notice that
None.
He came out right after Earl.
Yep.
No reference to Earl, even though he was on the card. He just came out as the champion to present the new title. And I thought he was used incredibly. And even the reference that was made to WWE in the Hall of Fame speech was by MJF.
Yes.
It worked.
Oh, God, did it ever. It was fantastic.
This guy hit, MJF, that is, hit a home run with whatever he did. I think that there are going to be comparisons drawn to MJF and The Miz.
Oh, I can totally see that.
What do you pull out of that, though?
He's better in ring. And like I said, like I even at the beginning of the show, I got him mixed up with Paige, thinking that MJF was it. And that shows the type of personality that he has and the type of future that he has going forward, like knock on wood, that this is the guy. He is going to be amazing. And this is my first, well, actually I saw him at Destiny a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
but this is just going to be fantastic.
He's definitely someone that, you know, there's certain guys, people that were involved in this segment, I think were the ones that AEW wants us as fans to watch for. The stars that are not yet fully established on a larger level. So you've got the Jungle Boy, which I think is absolutely important to them and a great signing, even though he's that young and people really do seem to gravitate to him. And Jimmy Havoc as well for the more hardcore aspect. And there was some hardcore last night.
Yes.
There was some blood last night as well. Was it too much for you? There was a lot of criticism of that I saw.
Not for myself, because it's been, how long since we've seen blood like that on TV. It's been since, like, what, Brock and Orton that we've seen something like that. And I thought it I thought it was fine. Like, yes, he bled hard. Like, wow, did he ever. Like, Cody's hair was pink at the end of the...
He bled hard, but he did not bleed hard way.
Yeah, I know,
because
right?
Omega
yeah.
bled hard way at the end with, I believe, the broken nose. But that was all choreographed, if you're wondering, and you didn't notice. Dustin bladed, and
yeah,
they
you
did
saw
a blade
it.
Job.
Yep.
And unlike what happened in the Orton and Lesnar match, which was hard way and very, very dangerous, this was not. Was it too much, though? I mean, is this something that, you know, you're going to a broadcaster here with TNT and you're looking at something like this, and is that too much to be shown on TV? It wasn't too much for the Attitude Era, but we're in 2019 right now.
Yeah, but they could also, like, you're thinking about long-term booking, and this company actually knows what they're doing, or at least seems like they know what they're doing. So they could save the blood for the pay-per-views,
right,
which have nothing to do with TNT.
Right.
You know, so they could shop that way. Like, say, look, we're not going to do that. Yes, that was heavy, but we're not going to do that on your regular TV shows. We save stuff like that for the pay-per-views, which I'd be fine with. Because you don't want this every single show, or else you'll just get bored of it. And it's just like, oh, come on, enough already.
There's something to be said for that, because it's like when... you go into, you have different promotions that go too much hardcore, and then it's just like, ah, well, it was a novelty, but now it's overdone. Even comedians who use an F-bomb too much. It's like, well, it's a novelty at some point, but if you use it too much, it just becomes overused. It becomes a crutch, I think is what I'm trying to say, and you don't want it to become a crutch. This match, brother versus brother, something that is traditionally not done well, I think that would be the opposite of what we saw last
night. Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
Was it match of the show?
Oh, boy.
It was for me. I will tell you. It was match of the show for me. But, it, I mean, you know, a lot of people are saying they love the Bucks and the Lucha Brothers are the final.
Yeah, I would say that. The other one that I really liked, and most people will disagree with me, I loved that Casino Battle Royale.
Really? I thought, because I had such high expectations going in from the over-budget Battle Royale that I thought was the best match of that show, the Casino Battle Royale didn't live up to those expectations for me. It was fine, but why did you like it? I did find the format was very confusing.
Yeah, the format was confusing, and there were a few hiccups with the editing, like missing some people getting thrown out, but it was the first match. Like, you're going to work the bugs out of the system, blah, blah, blah. I just loved seeing a bunch of people that I had never seen before and falling in love with them. Like, I'm sorry, Luchasaurus?
You like this?
Oh, my God. I looked at him. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Okay. And then all of a sudden I was watching and I'm like, I am totally buying into this. And I did not take a bathroom break that whole night.
Right.
Just
the whole night.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
well, until the show was over. But okay, you know what I mean.
Okay. So before we just continually praise this thing, though.
Right.
There's got to be a couple of critiques on it. What, before I go into my stuff, which is production-oriented, what about yourself? What was the questionable... whether it be matches, whether it be performances. I mean, you mentioned a bit of camera work in the Battle Royal there.
Right.
What else was questionable for you? Basically, a needs improvement on the checklist.
Commentary.
Oh, boy. I'm going to try to be kind on this show because, you know, if there's anything that I've done in my career, it's radio and television presenting.
Yes.
And wow, was it lackluster. But you give your critique first.
I found that during the pre-show, the levels were too low.
Okay.
But
that might have benefited one of them.
Yeah, totally. Excalibur, absolutely fantastic.
He's the best color commentator that I've heard in I don't know how long.
It's just amazing. Like, the way that he took the ball and ran with it and made everybody, like, I think he outdid JR for the whole show as well.
He did.
And the other guy whose name I can't even remember.
Alex Marvez?
There you go.
You don't need to remember his name because you should never hear it again.
No. Oh my God. I was floored by, like, the stupid things that would come out of his mouth, and he just felt like he was mumbling most of the time. And
he was very nervous.
Yeah. And that's
date
fine.
Wrong.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. When he got the date wrong, JR just shook his head and corrected him. Okay. Listen, I've been critical of Alex Marvez. At this point, I feel as though it's not his fault anymore.
No.
I think he's being put into a place that is unfair. I mean, you could say step up and get with it, and some people would say that in a tough love way. But as someone myself who has run a television network before, who does what Alex Marvez does for a living, whether it be on this mic or with a lav mic on or a stick mic in my hand. No one has taught this gentleman how to be on television.
Mm-hmm.
He kept his hands in his pockets the entire show.
That's right.
And it did not look good with his blazer.
Nope.
He did not seem all... He's informed, but he has a tough time telling us what he's trying to say. And unfortunately, what I just described is his job.
Right.
I believe that Alex Marvez, of course, has a place within this company. I don't think it's where he is now. I don't think that there needs to be a three-man team. He doesn't add anything to it. I think that, and I've said this before, the way that Jeremy Borash was used in WCW on, I think it was WCW Worldwide, where he did an internet broadcast, he was kind of the behind-the-scenes guy. I think that's where Alex Marvez could be of value to this. He is not the person that I want to see standing there on TNT. I honestly still don't know if JR is the right person to be standing there on TNT. JR did a good job broadcasting last night. It is also weird to see a masked man stand there.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it, he's good.
He's so good.
He's just so absolutely excellent. I think perhaps, and this would be another layer, I think perhaps JR and Excalibur are your commentators, and there might be a ringside reporter or host style who is a very savvy television presenter that is very professional. And I think maybe that is an aspect that they could look into, because I also didn't really care for Alicia Tout backstage. They didn't give her much time, but I didn't care for that librarian skit they did
right
either.
Now, can I ask you a quick question? Yeah. Just to interrupt you there. I was thinking about this last night while watching it, and I thought about you and wanted to know what you thought of the backstage interviewer.
Yeah.
She's not holding a mic. Did you notice that?
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they're not holding mics. They're just interviewing like that. And what, I guess, well, it didn't matter if you didn't notice it. But
well,
I just
they're
thought,
doing, I mean, I just was lost in that whole, I don't like the librarian thing.
Yes.
I don't like the shh thing. I guess it was supposed to be silly. A lot of people liked it. I didn't care for it. So
it went on a bit long.
I tuned out of it.
Yeah.
That was one of the segments where, as I mentioned, so the girlfriend was walking in and out of the room, and she was sitting there and just went...
Why are you watching?
What
this?
Is this?
Those and are the ones that always happens at those moments.
I couldn't really explain it. Again, they need a little bit of production work. The camera angle that they used, which was a three-quarter high angle, while the presenters were sitting, was horrendous.
Mm.
I know what their intention was. Their intention was to put the beautiful ring in the background, which was lit lovely.
Yep.
The monitors slightly below that, and then their presenters, but they were sitting and it showed their laps and it showed where they had buttoned up their ill-fitting suit jackets,
so bad.
Which were clearly just given to them before the show, and their pants did not match them either. I know it's picky, guys, but that's what I said. We've given this a glowing review.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple things. And I bet, Dave, I bet they're going to fix them. That's the how positive I am. I bet they're going to fix them for the next broadcast.
Yeah, I can honestly agree with you on that one. And it's just little things like that.
Yep.
And they'll watch it back and they'll be like, oh, okay, we did that wrong.
Yep.
Let's try this instead. And like you said, I'm sure that it'll be much better next time.
We are going to take a break. Normally, we would have done the news already, but instead, we're going to do the news next. There is some other things other than AEW to talk about. So Dave and I will be back, give you a news update. Yeah, we're going to have to talk some WWE as well at some point in the show. So we'll get there. Brian Alvarez still to join us. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mudd. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Hi, I'm Bartender Dave.
And I'm Danny Williams.
And we would like for you to answer the call. The Call to Arms podcast.
The 5-star rated podcast on iTunes.
And we talk about wrestling, but in a different way.
We're not just doing recaps of what you've already watched and digested.
And that's not a work.
And the best part is that it's all free.
It's the Call to Arms podcast, hosted by the award-winning Bartender Dave and Danny Williams.
Follow us on Twitter at Call to Arms Pod.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back. Sunday night's main event is what you're listening to. And, of course, the news of the week a little bit later this week because the big news all happened last night with AEW. And our lead news story, once again, concerns AEW. As you know, AEW has signed with Turner Sports. And come this fall, we'll be broadcasting a weekly show on TNT. In the U.S. Now, naturally, there are many of you from the Great White North that were asking about what this means for Canada. And considering Sportsnet is the home to WWE, TSN is the most logical home for AEW. Well, I can tell you this right now, as a Sunday night's main event exclusive, I have spoken with someone at TSN and learned that, yes, in fact, AEW has approached TSN about being the Canadian home to the show. I was told there is some interest on TSN's side, and basically that they have not said no. Negotiations are continuing, and we're going to have more news on that as it happens. You broadcast on TSN, you should know a little bit about it, right, Dave?
Oh, without a doubt. And well, it might be old news since Double or Nothing was last night, but on Friday morning, AEW issued a press release that Dean Malenko, yes, the man of a thousand holds, has joined the promotion as a senior producer slash coach. Of course, along with a very accomplished wrestling career, Malenko worked in a similar behind-the-scenes capacity for the WWE since 2001. He resigned from the company last month.
Also, as we spoke of earlier, yes, Jon Moxley has signed full-time with AEW. He is allowed to work dates outside of North America and do some independent dates, but AEW will have priority on his dates. He's set to make his in-ring debut at Fyter Fest in Daytona Beach on Saturday, June the 29th. To my knowledge, an opponent has yet to be announced.
This past Monday, the combination of being the day after a major pay-per-view that ended with curiosity and the show-long Brock Lesnar cash-in tease led to Raw doing 2.52 million viewers. That's up 7% from the week before, even though last week had no NBA playoff competition. As far as SmackDown goes, the show rebounded to its best rating since April 23rd, averaging 1.983 million viewers for Tuesday night's show. However, neither of these helped the WWE stock that landed at 75.87 on Friday.
Yeah, that's not good. That is way down. Still way up from like a year ago, though.
Yes.
USA Network announced on Friday that it has picked up a series called Straight Up Steve Austin for 7 half-hour episodes. The series premieres on August 12th and will air after Raw on Mondays at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. The show is an interview-based series which Austin goes on an adventure with a different guest each episode. Announced guests so far: Becky Lynch, country music singer Trace Adkins, former NASCAR star Dale Earnhardt Jr., comedian Gabriel Iglesias, Rob Riggle, Sal Vulcano of Impractical Jokers. He really tails off towards the end there, Dave.
A little bit, little bit.
Oh boy, once you get into Impractical Jokers territory, not so good.
There is more fallout coming from the death of Ashley Massaro. TMZ has reported that, as suspected, it was a suicide, and it was a death by hanging. Also coming out of the story this week is that, as noted in Jason's chat last week with Dave Meltzer, there is an affidavit that was relayed by Massaro's lawyer, Constantine Krios, that stated that Massaro was sexually assaulted on a 2007 Kuwait tour and was told not to report it. And in reading the affidavit, sexually assaulted is a mild term to use for the vivid and gruesome description that was given.
With this hitting the media, WWE issued an official response to the claim, stating, "WWE is saddened by the death of Ashley Massaro, and we reiterate our condolences to her family. However, we regret that her attorney, Constantine Krios, who filed multiple cases against WWE, lost all of them, and was sanctioned multiple times by the court for repeated misconduct and false allegations, is using Ashley's death to further her malicious campaign against WWE by releasing an affidavit that she admitted to the court and later apologized to WWE for being involved with. So we wish to make certain things crystal clear. At no time was Vince McMahon or the management of WWE ever informed by Ashley Massaro or anybody else that she had been sexually assaulted, drugged, raped, or sodomized by a military doctor with a nurse standing guard while on a goodwill tour in 2007 to U.S. military bases in Kuwait. In fact, if she ever articulated such a claim to WWE, we would have reported it immediately to the base commander. At no time was there ever a meeting with Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, John Laurinaitis, or other company executives in which she told them of such a claim and was instructed to keep it quiet." So that's the WWE statement. I mean, the sad thing here is If these claims are true, Massaro has paired herself with an attorney that has such an awful reputation that nothing of what she said will ever be taken seriously.
Following Massaro's death, the Squared Circle Sisters, a group of co-workers of Ashley Massaro's from the WWE, have started a GoFundMe to raise money for a college savings plan for Massaro's daughter, Lexi. This includes Gail Kim auctioning off the gear she wore in her retirement match against Tessa Blanchard at Impact's Rebellion pay-per-view.
WWE.com reported on Wednesday that Ruby Riott underwent successful surgery to repair a bilateral injury to her right shoulder. She will undergo a similar surgery in her left shoulder at a later date. There is no current timetable for her return.
Oh, I can't wait to see her come back. And there may be a 50-man meaningless battle royal on the WWE Saudi Super Showdown, but we can tell you four guys who won't be there. Kevin Owens requested to not make the trip. Sami Zayn is of Syrian descent, so much like last time, he won't be there, nor will Daniel Bryan and Aleister Black, who apparently has some tattoos that do not align with Saudi beliefs. Well, I guess they must suggest freedom of speech or women being respected as human beings.
Do you have any of those tattoos, Dave? Would you be allowed into Saudi Arabia with all the tattoos you have?
Can I plead the fifth in Canada?
Okay, yep. I believe so. That's fine. Okay, just one more item here, and it's a Ric Flair update. Flair was released from his hospital stay after undergoing heart surgery earlier this week. He sent out the following tweet to let people know he was okay. He said, "The nature's home. Thank you to all the incredible staff and doctors at Gwinnett Medical Center. Once again, I am so thankful for all of my family, friends, and fans for all the love. At this time in my life, I never take it for granted. I'll be back up and wooing in no time." So good to hear that the Nature Boy seems to be on the mend, and look forward to seeing him on AEW TV shortly.
Woo!
Yeah, does that work? Is he going to be there too? He and Brett standing in the ring together?
Oh my God.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. We will touch on some WWE stuff. We'll do that next. After all, Dave, Dolph Ziggler's back in the mix.
Oh my God.
Yep, that is next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mudd. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
I can tell you from experience that it takes a lot to make a mark and to be a champion in WWE. It is an obsession that consumes you throughout the day. Every single moment of every single minute of every single hour. And so it is, with that spirit in mind, may I present to you the newest title in the WWE family. The 24/7 title.
Welcome back. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and that was Mick Foley. That stumbling and mumbling was Mick Foley, who seemed to maybe have a problem with a lack of teeth, which hasn't been a problem before, Dave. I know this is a weird stumbling block to start on here, because Listen, if we talk about problems with this segment from Monday night, Mick Foley's speech pattern was probably the least of all of them, but he was set up to fail.
Yeah,
can I just leave it at that?
I think so, too. I think that he really did not have any belief in what he was trying to sell.
Good point,
Because it was just, you could tell, like, he looked defeated throughout this whole thing before the crowd even turned on it. Like, he just came out there looking like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this.
So, and I don't know why he'd say yes to this. I mean, I don't know what his deal is with WWE, or I wonder what Mick Foley knew upon showing up at the arena. I'm going to bet he just knew he was there to do a segment, maybe that it involved presenting a title. And I'm wondering if he knew it was the 24/7 title, because he did seem to stumble and bumble over what he was doing here. And along with that, set up to fail is what I said. And I mean that because here is your hardcore icon that you throw out there, if you think WWE and you think hardcore, he is the first person, bar none,
yep,
that you think of due to the Hell in the Cell match.
Exactly.
He's put out there, and it is an attempt at, I think, a hardcore title, sort of, but not with any hardcore.
Yeah, it was almost like, I saw it as almost a slap in the face to him, to make him do this, somebody who made the hardcore title something special.
Right.
And now, okay, we're going to give the people back this hardcore title. Now, don't get me wrong, I like the idea.
Do you? I don't.
Well, it's...
Wait, what idea do you like? Do you like the hardcore idea or the 24-7 idea?
I kind of like the 24-7 idea.
Really? Yeah, you're going to have to sell
me
on this.
Okay, well, I just like the idea of, like, it gives the other people something to do.
The other people, as in everybody mid-card down, all the people.
Yeah, there's the Titus O'Neils.
Listen,
and
Dave, there's a lot of things to do, though. There's a lot of time to fill.
Yeah.
And is this a... Okay, it's something to do, but is it a good something to do?
I guess the jury's out on that.
Okay.
But I thought it was kind of a neat idea, but it did seem like a slap in the face because, like, if it was a hardcore title, because it basically is a hardcore title, you can do it anywhere, use whatever you want, just bring a ref.
Right.
So why wouldn't they just go forward with that, and why would they make it such an ugly belt? Like, it looks like Braun Strowman's from the Battle Royal or whatever it was. The Saudi
greatest
show.
Royal Rumble green thing that we never, ever saw again.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that there's going to come a time, maybe, what, like a month or so, where we're going to never, ever see this thing again either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a coin on the front of a green strap. So that was bad. But that wasn't the... You could get away with an ugly title. No. Actually, I'm going to take that back. Here's how this segment could have at least started and been decent, started on the right foot. Let me put it that way, okay? If Mick Foley goes out there and pulls out the Broken Winged Eagle belt.
Mm.
That was the original belt that was presented to Mick Foley as the hardcore champion.
Yes.
When Vince was essentially making fun of him and presented Mankind that belt. If at least it had been that, there's something to be said about nostalgia. I mean, obviously, it can be huge, and if done properly, it can work. So that's a good start, and where you take it from there, that's up to you. But that gives it a chance to succeed. I feel as though by putting your hardcore icon out there and not allowing him to say the words hardcore,
mm-hmm,
and having a belt that looks like, as we mentioned, a coin on a green strap, how could this... And...
Yep, I know where you're going.
On top of this, Titus O'Neil is your first champion who has won this belt by what was a reverse battle royal, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I just named off four reasons why this was going to fail.
Yeah. It's I got
speechless.
No words.
Speechless. A bartender who's pours drinks and gets paid to talk speechless.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Drake Maverick, I don't know, are you following along on social media?
Yes, I am.
Drake Maverick is trying very hard. You know from my collection of wardrobe that I'm a big fan of Drake Maverick. He inspired us rockstar Spud. He's the one who told me about the wacky suits from Oppa Suits that I wear. I'm a big fan of his. I can't buy into this, though. I don't care about this title. And some people have said maybe if it was just an internet title, kind of like Zack Ryder, it could have got over. I don't think it could have. Do you think now, after what we've seen for this week, that this can work?
No.
Okay.
No. One, there's too many titles. And I know that is like everybody screams about this all the time. But another one and making it meaningless right from the get-go, it's not going to work. I like the idea, but it's definitely not going to work.
And also, you know, WWE is spitting out so much content. I even think that, you know, the whole more is more thing, which I complain about and has become such a hashtag and catchphrase that has caught on with listeners now sharing it back to me as well whenever there just seems to be too much. Honestly, I think this is also too much. And this is not just too much on television. This is too much on the internet as well. This is too much on social media. I mean, this is a storyline that they are trying their best in this particular situation to link up television and social media. But I just don't care. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is really what it comes down to. I don't care. If none of your other titles mean anything, then why does this one mean something? And it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And you're completely right. Like, you look at what they've done with the U.S. title over the past couple of months, and
I don't know who has it.
It's Rey Mysterio right now, I think. He won it at Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Is that the IC title or is that that is the U.S.,
US
right? Okay, that is the U.S. That's the problem, though. And I guarantee you, I'm not the only one who thought, wait a minute, who has that title?
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to go back. You know when I write the trivia?
Yes.
And you go back to the age of Intercontinental Champions of like the line that came up where it went Valentine, Santana, and then into, who went from Santana? I'm surprised. I should know this. Oh, Macho Man.
Macho,
yep. And then Ricky Steamboat and Honky Tonk Man and all that. Like that line is pretty clear as far as who won and lost all of those. And you think about it for a half second, you remember.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, because yeah. they don't mean anything.
No, they don't. And you look back at that whole era that you're talking about there, I remember growing up watching this as the person that held the Intercontinental title was next in line for the heavyweight. And yeah. Now, if you're holding the Intercontinental title, you're not holding it. The Intercontinental title is holding you down.
There is any title can be because there's this belief that if you have a title, you can lose.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, that's actually a great segue into what I wanted to talk about next. And that is WWE has had the mindset of if you hold the briefcase,
mm-hmm.
you are next. We may be seeing that done successfully with Bayley.
Right.
The jury's still out with what they have done. She had the briefcase. Now she has a title. We'll see what happens with Bayley and the resurrection and hopefully evolution of the Bayley character. But let's talk about the other one.
Yes.
And that's Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar comes out. He says he's going to choose a Money in the Bank challenge. And now after this week where it did pop ratings a little bit, he's supposed to come out on Monday and choose his challenge. If he is going to say, because we already got the Ziggler thing happening for Kofi, if he is going to pick Seth Rollins to face with his Money in the Bank at Saudi Arabia, what a waste.
Yeah, but come on. The Saudis got the money. They want to see this.
No, but why does it have to be the Money in the Bank, though? Money in the Bank for Brock Lesnar could have been, I know people complained about him winning.
Right.
But it could have been excellent.
Oh, for sure.
It could have, because he doesn't show up much.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul can be there to talk. Paul can be there to carry the damn briefcase and talk. And then when he does show up, it means so much more. And I still maintain, if you're going to call your shot, which, by the way, is a very babyface thing to do,
totally.
So it's strange to me. But if you're going to call your shot and you want to drive ratings for that first SmackDown on Fox, call it then or show up then and have a different match. And at the end of it, if you're gonna maybe fail against someone else, and then at the end of it, you call it on Kofi Kingston after he's been beat down, and you have Brock Lesnar standing tall at the end of that first Fox show,
brilliant.
That is a big, big moment.
Yeah. Now, and, is there any, like, is it concrete that he's calling Seth for the Saudi show?
No, it's not concrete. I mean, but he is supposed, they said, they left off SmackDown with saying, and Raw was saying that he is going to declare who he is challenging this week on Raw.
No.
And falling out of what we were just talking about, you know, you have Dolph Ziggler for, I was going to say for some reason, but the reason is you don't have Daniel Bryan or Kevin Owens going to Saudi Arabia. So instead, boom, there you go. Dolph Ziggler is in the mix all of a sudden to come out, jump Kofi and say it should have been him. For everything, apparently, and now challenge Kofi Kingston at the Saudi show. So Dolph goes in, he loses, and then what? Like, is it just a one-off?
I have never understood the booking of this guy in the least bit. Because it just, but you know what? I've never really believed in the character either.
Or I don't know if he believes in his character.
It's just, he oversells everything. It's just, I've never really liked Dolph Ziggler. So... What happens after he loses? Because he's not going to beat Kofi.
I want to talk more about the structure of what's going on with the Saudi show. They moved around pay-per-views, and they're putting a focus on the Saudi show. And I tweeted out something, and then someone replied back something about, like, this is where the reason why they promote this event is because it's why... where big things happen, like the return of Goldberg and The Undertaker. Why? I guess it has to be broadcast because of the contract. Because I don't understand why they have to include it in storyline. Where could you, TNA, and this is weird for me to reference this,
okay,
but Impact does the one night only shows, which are all taped at once and have no reference to storyline. Why isn't the Saudi show just that?
It would make, well, it makes, that makes sense. And that's why it's not being done that way. Okay.
But do you know what I mean by this? Like, it's a novelty show that's headlined by Bill Goldberg and The Undertaker, but it doesn't fall into, like, if you want to watch it, it's maybe promoted and that's a novelty match, but it's not storyline. And your storyline, as opposed to pushing to this weird event, is still pushing to your Sunday night pay-per-view that is stomping ground that is happening. Like, that's the storyline push. This just happens to be a televised house show.
And that's the way it should be, because, like, this is what, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday or something.
Yeah,
like that?
That doesn't bother me as much. It's just that I find that they're moving things around, and they have, if this is the case with Brock Lesnar cashing in his money in the bank that he's announcing in Saudi Arabia, they've gotten rid of both of these briefcases. And I always liked when one was done quick, but one was there to stretch along, because it has been, I keep saying this, it has been a very successful gimmick for WWE. And this year seems like the death of the gimmick.
Yeah, it really does. Like, they, if they blow it off at the Saudi show, it's, why even bother?
Why bother?
Yeah.
Why bother with Brock? This could have been done without the briefcase.
Oh, for sure. He didn't need the briefcase to begin with. But like you said before, him getting it, there was opportunity to make this something special. But if he's going to call a shot, like, come on. That's using it wrong. It's using it completely wrong. It should be used by somebody sneaking in, boom, taking it. Like, I hated the only one that called it that I liked was Rob Van Dam.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I thought that that was an excellent move. It was like, come and play on my turf.
Exactly.
And that really worked. But also, you know, I think at that time, that was like babyface versus babyface.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going into ECW and Rob's totally the babyface and seen as the heel. Things totally flip upside down there. And that was great. Calling your shot as a babyface makes sense. Brock Lesnar's the ultimate heel, along with Paul Heyman. It's all about, you know, taking advantage of everyone else and taking advantage of their, you know, ignorance or the way that they are left in a ring, right? It's all about taking advantage, opportunistic, Edge, CM Punk, etc. And this has none of it if they decide to go this route. So that will be happening tomorrow night on Raw. I guess look forward to that?
I don't know. Like, it would be great if he came out and said, ha, I'm not calling yet.
Great.
There you go. Perfect.
Sure. We got to take a break. We shall come on back. There is lots more wrestling chat still to come. Coming up next, it is the second hour if you're listening on TSN Radio. If you're listening on News Talk, then you should go ahead and hit up patreon.com/SNMEradio and get the whole hour commercial free each and every week sent right into your favorite podcatcher. Sunday night's main event is what you're listening to. If I live to see the seven wonders. Well, that's hour one of Sunday night's main event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, turnbuckle trivia, feedback, and often the triple threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start at for as little as $4 a month, and that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.